And that's merely because we may have four students who go to one particular school, but those four students could be in a 120-mile radius. So we're trying to, again, be more efficient. Why have a large 34-passenger yellow bus driving down the road when we could use a minivan? And this is all within compliance and within rules and regs.
What does that configuration look like? How many minivans equals what you had been doing with a given bus, and what's the time savings?
We're looking at a fleet of approximately 8 to 12 minivans to be utilized. Now, those minivans are exactly the same time frame as the yellow bus. So we don't really save time. What we save would be maintenance cost. What we'd save would be the cost of comparison between a minivan and a yellow bus, because yellow buses could be six figures. A minivan could be $20,000 to $22,000, $25,000. We were looking at mass purchases of those as well. So truly moving down those lines, plus the first student is looking at some pricing. You don't have to have a CDL, although you do need to have some training. We want that training with first student to occur. But so hopefully we're going to have some also, and they're working on that cost structure with us right now. We want some additional relief, cost relief from there too. So, but very pleased as things have continued. We're still averaging about 140 to 145 drivers ready. And again, we have about 122 routes. So the driver shortage has been resolved. I think our routing system has been resolved, although we're going to dig deep again in that as soon as school is out and we start looking at next year's enrollment.
Will there be a cost to install video and other things in these new vans?
Yes, you have to have the videos. You have to have those components there. Many of our students who are in the are using the minivans also will have a monitor, but that's because of their particular unique needs. And we'd have that the same on the 34-passenger bus. So those costs are similar. But the overall, if you can imagine, our maintenance costs are tremendously reduced when we use minivans. I'll tell you, it's a very complex system, but I'm very appreciative of where First Student has taken their service from November to where they are today in April.
The next question is how to pay for it. How is the state doing or not doing on giving you money in transportation, special needs, and for a free and reduced lunch?
We knew we had a deficit spending last 2 years in our transportation fund. So we had to do some things differently, and we had to be more efficient in our transportation system.
And you got there. With some stumbles, but you got there.
Yeah, and I would say some major falls. But we rebounded, we're there, and now there's something called categoricals. Categoricals are monies that we receive from the state, and we receive four payments per year. Those payments, sometimes we'll receive three in a year, but then we'll get a makeup payment usually in July or September of the next year.
Lagging behind.
This year, we received that lagging payment. I believe it came in October. So that was one payment lagging behind. The other four payments, we have not received any categorical payment yet this year.
So for all of this current school year that's about to end, you have not received any state money for transportation, for special needs, or for free and reduced lunch.
That's correct. And that amounts to about $10.8 million.
At one point, you had about 3 days' worth of cash in the kitty. What are you now?
So those numbers in the transportation fund we have, they will be gone. We have no balance. So we'll be back into deficit spending and transportation. Our special needs spending we'll have to adjust some of our guaranteed state aid, which is used in the educational fund. That's going to have to move over. We will not be able to have a balanced budget. So we'll be in deficit spending. My great concern is if there is no state budget, then how are they going to make payments in the future? We can weather this for about 74 days. At that point, we have to go out and find additional revenue. That's the extent of our savings. We need to truly, all of us need to ask our state legislators, a budget is critical. We're the bear in the woods. Public education is by far the greatest amount of revenue or expense in our state, greatest amount of expense. We need to be part of this resolution to come to a budget in the state of Illinois.
The public may be at risk here of having some sort of panic fatigue. We've had so many alarm calls,
yes,
over the last couple of years in various sectors, social services,
correct,
education, higher education, that people may just say, oh, you know what, they muddled through so far. How is this time different?
Well, we would always get a makeup payment, or we'd get something that would be prorated. We would get something. I think we're coming down to the point where we will get $0. If we get $0, we will have to come to the point where we have to decide 74 days with money on hand, cash on hand. What do we do? How long do you extend that? And where do we find additional dollars?
So you will know right about the time the General Assembly is supposed to adjourn. You will know that you don't have anything left right about the time where they're supposed to have done their job.
Correct. As you recall, last year it was June 30th. They extended an additional 30 days, so it went to June 30th. And then, of course, if something has to happen then, or they, again, don't have a budget. They went to a stopgap measure last year. That filled the hole for K through 12, but it didn't do
operating,
anything.
Operating, but not the categoricals.
But not the categoricals, correct. This is a grave concern for us. It should be for every citizen in the state of Illinois, because how do you keep doors open if you don't have the revenue to spend on the expenses that we have? And we've reduced about every place we can. I don't know of, truly, if I look at my transportation fund, we found that. Of course, that caused quite a bit of angst and frustration for our parents and students. And it is a different service today. We've reduced teachers, we've reduced administrators, we've reduced those categories that are our most, our cost factors.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. Would you recommend to your board shutting the doors? Would you say, we can't do this? The cost of borrowing money to keep the doors open in the hope, faint or strong, that the General Assembly will do something to keep things rolling is not worth it.
Well, the first plan of action, and I've already begun this process, is sitting down with legislators and truly just showing these are the facts and making sure that they know these.
What are they telling you?
Well, they're saying that there is discussion. The grand bargain may not be what the grand bargain was, but there are we're working to find ways to create a budget. And I'm asking them, what can I do to assist you? And I'll continue to do that until we have a budget. Now, for my recommendation to the board, I've heard people say, we've cut. How much more do you cut? And is this just a slow bleed and a slow death, or do we go to the point where we possibly can, and then you do shut the doors? Those are conversations that we are having. Do you go out and get additional dollars through working cash bonds? Do you go out? And again, if the amount of money that we're talking about would exist, you could do that for a couple of years, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. But after that, you can't borrow your way out of this either. That's what's different today than it was last year.
It's either credit card or nothing.
Exactly. And to be honest, this is uncharted waters. There are times I feel very much like Columbus.
Has any state ever experienced this?
When I was in Michigan, Michigan was going through their tremendous economic downturn because of the auto industry. Some of my colleagues spoke about there were districts that had shut doors. Now, immediately that was remedied by the state legislators, and they found revenue to move into the school districts. But I'll say that even Michigan is not truly recovered from that phenomenon. The auto industry is such a core part of their economy that they are still just trickling along. There are too many assets in the state of Illinois. Illinois is too strong from an economic base, from a logistics base, from a financial base, and from a land base, from an ag perspective. There are too many things that are strengths here in Illinois for it not to have a budget. And I'm hoping there's a lot of pent-up investment waiting once a budget is passed that we can also see an economic surge. I'm hoping that's the case. But you cannot continue to have a budget that doesn't exist because you are pushing people away from the state and you're telling citizens move out of the state.
Are lawmakers telling you that a potential budget, whether it's grand bargain or grand bargain version 2.0 or whatever eventually might happen, are they telling you that that will result in anything retroactive, or are you going to be out that $10 million permanently?
I have not been told we're out anything permanently. I have been told, though, that it becomes harder and harder to implement a budget that is also retroactive in regards to where you're going to find the revenue. So as that time tends to grow, that period expands, I think you will be seeing some places where in some particular funds where we're going to start today. We can only go forward. You will not receive this from past debt. So
how many districts will fail as a result of that?
You know, last year there was a group that actually did a study in regards to those districts most likely to fail, because that's public information. You can look to see what operating fund balances are. And they chose to look at X number of those. I don't know the number, but they looked at those and said, and then contacted them and asked them, will you be able to go out and find, as you said, a credit card to finance your operations? 85% of them said no. Now, I will tell you that Unit 5, superb, excellent district. And I will tell you, critical for the town of Bloomington Normal, towns of Bloomington Normal, city of Bloomington. Critical. You don't want to have a failing school district. Are we probably the size district that we are? It would be a major, major, I would call it a catastrophe, if Unit 5 would become, in other words, we'd have to shut our doors. That is not what we want. But if I don't get some type of funding from the state, if they went completely no budget, no funding, they're only an X number of days that you can stay open. So this is the first time that I have truly felt serious about this issue. I felt uneasy about the amount of funding that we're going to receive, but maybe we could figure out some things locally. Now it's beyond that. There are things that if we don't receive a budget, you can't even do things locally to compensate for those losses. So we'd be a very different school district, as would eventually all districts across our state.
Difference in what way? Just a bare minimum, bare bones?
Bare minimum.
40 kids in a classroom district?
How do you transport kids? It's a $12 to $13 million contract. How do you transport kids when you have no money?
Everybody has to get to school on their own.
You could just play out all these different options. How do we turn lights on? We have to pay. Someone has to pay the utility bills. Teachers, how do you provide any kind of additional professional development or any professional development? You have no funding to do so. It would be status quo, and that would be probably my recommendation. Stay status quo as far along as we can, and then. Again, this is worst case scenario. I call this the nuclear option, if you will. And if we have to go to the nuclear option, that means the state has truly failed. And that's why I'm talking to state legislators, because I truly believe a budget is critical. You have to have a budget. I have been told that we may not have a budget till January 1st, 2019.
You can't last that long.
We cannot last that long. Without a budget, we can't last that long. Now, if they did some stopgap things, we could continue to move forward. But again, if they're going to create parameters such as if they prohibit referendums, how do we find any additional revenue if the state's not providing the revenue?
Then you're right back to cuts.
Right back to severe cuts. And you're probably, what you mentioned there, you're at classroom size levels that we've never seen before.